Hello, all of you out there in Radio Land. This is KPTZ, Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. And for our virtual listeners, stay on kptz.org. Our website is more than a way just to listen to the shows today. For example, you can find the biographies of all of our hosts and DJs. You can look up calendar listings to find out what's going on around town. You can even sample some earlier shows. Most original programs like this one are up as podcasts. So double your listening pleasure. Listen to today's show and listen to an old one or several. I'm Maryam McNellis. I'm the host of Our Town. Have you ever wondered who the people are that you see every day around the area? Who was the guy parked in a pickup, gazing out at the water beyond Boathaven? What was on his mind? And who was a lady with a corgi beagle mix at the community center? She looked like she was in a big hurry to get somewhere, but the dog didn't seem to want to go. Then there was the guy reading the Wall Street Journal at Sunrise Coffee. His big black dog took up the entire length of the only couch in the joint. Nice. This show, Our Town, profiles some of the fascinating people who live and work in Jefferson County. We talk with the people who make up the eclectic mix around the peninsula. We talk about their lives, their dreams, and how they ended up on the western edge of the continent, able to look across the Strait of Juan de Fuca right at Vancouver Island, Canada. Over time, we'll be talking with firefighters and foodies, bus drivers and baristas, the lawyers and the ladies who lunch. We try to find out what makes them tick and what they think about living in beautiful Jefferson County amid the deer, the otters, and even the magnificent soaring eagles. Today, my guest is John Paul Davies, the owner of one of Port Townsend's signature businesses, the Key City Fish Company. Tucked away in a warehouse in the Boathaven, Key City's fresh local meat and seafood is growing in popularity around Western Washington. It's not a business run within the confines of Port Townsend. Today, Key City delivers throughout most of Western Washington. So welcome to the show, John Paul.
I am very glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
So I always like to start with sort of a very basic question. Were you born and bred in Port Townsend?
I was not. I was born in California.
California, which part?
Walnut Creek, California, East Bay, in the Bay Area.
Okay, and so why was your family located in that spot?
My father was part of the mass migration to California that came in the early to late 60s and 70s. He worked for General Electric.
I see. Well, that was, I think, the first of many high-tech happenings in the Bay Area, right?
Yes, indeed.
And so where did he come from?
He came from Newcastle upon Tyne in England.
Wow. Wow. Is your mother also British?
My mother is also British. She comes from Durham, which is another town in the north of England.
Did you get a lot of exposure to England yourself?
I got significant exposure to England myself. Of course, many cousins and family members are English. And then my parents sent us to England for a summer holiday when we were 12, where we spent a number of months there kind of visiting family and getting a sense of the territory.
I see. When earlier you told me that you actually lived there as a sort of a baby and a toddler.
That is correct. And so I was born in the United States in California, but we moved back to England when I was a baby, returning for good when I was 5.
Well, you probably remember more about the trip when you were 12 than younger than 5.
Yes, indeed.
That when you were true. 12, what impressed you the most of the difference between that experience and home?
One of the wonderful things about going back to England is just the deep sense of history and use of the language. The vowels really come to life when you're in the British Isles. Of course, it was always nice to hook up with family, see where you're from.
Did you ever, or did your parents ever think about sending you to one of those British schools where you all wear matching shorts and hats and all that?
There are pictures of me wearing matching shorts and matching hats. For my first, I started school in England before, because they start at 4.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a school picture.
Stuff, but not high school. You didn't go
No, I didn't quite, yeah.
The
not
boarding
in high school.
School experience or anything.
No.
So you went to high school in the States then?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, here's another thing I ask everyone. your peers in high school label people. They say, you know, he's a jock, she's a nerd, or whatever. It may have nothing to do with what the person really is like, but that's sort of the common view. What do you think they thought of you?
I think they thought I was on the nerd side of the scale, or some vicinity there.
Were you a smart kid?
I was a pretty smart kid. Okay. Not super smart, but, you know.
Okay, and so were you one of those kids who had this vision, I'm going to be an X when I grow up?
I had many visions, let's put it that way.
Okay, and so how did you set out to pursue these visions?
Well, after high school, I went to college. Mm-hmm. I went to Humboldt State University in Northern California, initially majoring in cellular molecular biology.
Woo.
That lasted a few quarters.
Uh-huh.
And then I started thinking of other ideas.
Yeah. And which direction did you end up going?
I ended out majoring in history.
Mm-hmm. And did you stay at Humboldt?
No, I did not. I dropped out of school for a period of time, traveled around Mexico, which was a really great adventure, and then wound up moving north to Washington, initially to get involved in the fishing industry in Alaska, this being the jump-off point, and then ended out also staying and then finishing my college degree at the University of Washington.
No, fishing in Alaska, I talked to so many people around Port Townsend, and that seems to be a real common thing. So how did that idea come to you?
My brother has been a very influential person in my life, and he had a friend, a very adventurous friend that he went to high school with in California, who somehow made his way to fishing in Alaska, and he kind of got the bug going for my brother. And so my brother actually went fishing and then put me in contact with some folks, and that's what got me going.
Wow. And so your first fishing job up there, do you remember it well? What was that like?
It was an interesting summer. I guess it was all together, maybe 5 or 6 months, but it was a great adventure. I had the ability or the opportunity to take a boat from Seattle, where the skipper purchased a new boat at LeClaire Marine. And then we cruised up the Inside Passage, across the Gulf of Alaska, down past Kodiak, through the Aleutian Chain.
Wow.
Down into Bristol Bay and over to Togiak, where we went herring fishing.
Wow. And you would have been, what, 19, something like that?
I was 21.
21.
Yeah.
And how big was the crew on something like that?
It was a crew of four. It's a good-sized boat. I think it was about a 50-foot seiner.
You're in sort of tight quarters. I hope everyone got along really well.
Well, I wouldn't say everyone got along really well, but I did my best to be easy to get along with, that's for sure.
Yeah, because that's quite an adventure. So you know, you did some of that, then you came back, went to UW. At some point, you graduated. What did you do first?
Well, after I got out of college, I was happy to not be going to college anymore. That was a real relief.
There is that.
There was kind of a gauntlet finish for me, in the sense that, you know, to a certain extent, the magic was gone, and I just had to gather up some credits to finish the gig. So I was happy to be out, and then started thinking, well, you know, what kind of career would I have? As far as the collegiate side of things, I had it in my head, well, perhaps I could teach school.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started looking into, well, where could I teach school where I wouldn't have to go to school anymore to get a teaching degree?
Did you find many
places? The possible hook was New York City, where they have a hard time finding teachers.
Right.
And so I did make my way quite close to that possibility, but I never did get in the classroom, actually until much later here in Port Townsend, where I sat in the classroom for an SAT test to make sure someone roped me into that at one point.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you didn't teach. What did you do?
I got jobs in the fish markets in Seattle. Initially, actually, while I was going to college, I was working for the University Seafood and Poultry Shop right there in the U District. And shortly after college, I got a job down at the Pike Place Market, which was a super exciting, high-energy retail environment. So
I'm sure most of our listeners have been to Pike's Place Market. I have. And, you know, some of it impresses me that it's theater.
To a certain extent, it is theater. You have an enormous audience every day, and you are basically creating an environment that fits the bill for the Pike Place Market and the reputation that it has, which is old world. So we would out there, you know, calling out, fresh king salmon, who's next?
Yep, yep. Well, you know, it's one thing to fish and catch the fish. It's quite another thing, in a way, to be in the store and, you know, cutting it up just so and filleting this and doing that. I mean, not everyone makes that transition. What skills do you think you had that made you able to do it?
I found a really good fit for me in the seafood marketing business. Well, in the end, more so than in fishing itself. It is a very stay busy career. And it's very multifaceted. So you go from lifting boxes to preparing and knowing how to cut various different fish to the customer contact. And so many people are so nervous about purchasing fish that you have to really, you know, work on their confidence and create, you know, relationships with the customers. And I found that I really enjoyed that and the opportunity to connect with people, you know.
Yeah, well, it's not, again, I'll sort of sit back behind the counter and don't do anything. It seems to me everyone's moving around all the time.
It's definitely, to do a good job in the fish business, you have to keep moving. You have to keep working the product. You have to keep the ice on it, keep it looking fresh. Don't let it dry out. I mean, there's just an enormous list of things that you have to know and act upon throughout the day.
Yeah, and rearranging things too. You know, people come and take the first four in the front. You can't just
leave that one left there.
Yeah.
No, you have to go get more and then rebuild
and make it around and everything.
Yep.
Okay, so you worked at Pike's Place and other stores out west, but I think you also told me you went to the Village in New York City.
I did. So at that point, I had partnered up with Erin Lamb, and she was from New York City. She had grown up in New York City, mm-hmm. and she was itching to go back. Mm-hmm. And so we hatched up a plan, and, you know, we figured we'd go to New York City and get some fashionable clothes. And, you know, we weren't really thinking to go and get a fish market job. We were thinking we'd go and, you know, try our hands at the cutting edge art scene in Manhattan.
Okay.
Was the idea.
That was the plan.
And perhaps, you know, get a job as a substitute teacher in the school system there.
Okay. And how'd that go?
Well, what I found out about the cutting edge art scene in Manhattan at that time, at least the part of it that I came in contact with, was, holy smokes, the egos of these folks.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I am, you know, part and parcel part of this group. So, and then of course, my bank account quickly drained.
Yes, there is that.
And the waiting list for the substitute teaching didn't come to life as quickly as I had hoped. And so I just leaned back on the old fish market skill and went door to door and got a job at the Jefferson Market in the West Village.
Well, how long did you stay with that one?
I think I was there for a couple years, close to a couple years.
And what made you give that up?
Well, it's interesting, but we also had a small child. Actually, when we moved there, we had a baby. And then when we left there, we had a small toddler. And it was starting to feel quite cramped in our Manhattan apartment. And we dreamed of the open air and the space. And it's hard to permanently leave the West because it's such a fantastic location.
Yeah, it is. It is indeed. You're listening to KPTZ, Port Townsend 91.9 FM. The show is called Our Town. I'm the host, Marianne McNellis, and my guest today is John Paul Davies, the owner of Key City Fish Company. He's just been telling us a bit about his background, how he bounced around a bit, selling fish, working in fish stores, ended up in Manhattan, began to remember that perhaps there were things about the West that he remembered and he really liked. So he decided to come back. And ultimately, he's going to land in Port Townsend, but I'm not sure he did that day one when he came back. So what happened when you came back?
When I came back, my first inclination was to try and get my job back at the Pike Place Market.
Mm-hmm.
So I was given a few shifts and I started working there. But I was also reaching out around the area. My partner's sister lived in Kitsap County, and mm-hmm. so that was kind of our home base. We moved into their ADU in their backyard for a summer.
Handy.
And I came up to Port Townsend. I do believe, if I remember correctly, that I applied for a job at the mill.
Mm-hmm.
And then I applied at New Day Fisheries. And, you know, meanwhile, picking up a shift here and there at the Pike Place Market.
Right. And you got hired at New Day Fisheries.
I did. The mill didn't hire me. And then New Day Fisheries, Scott Kimmel, called on me and said he was interested in putting a retail market together. And would I like to take that on? In the end, I chose that that would be an exciting challenge, and I took it on.
And so what year was that?
I believe that would be 1993.
Okay. And they didn't have a retail market, so you started it.
At that time, they did not have a retail market, and so I started it. They were in the same location they're in now. Mm-hmm. And what we did is we put a little tent out front, you know, one that you would see at the farmer's market, and then some totes of ice. And I started setting out some fish displays, and we put out a scale and a cash register, and I started selling to the community. I think we did very little advertising, but we probably did a little bit in the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started building a clientele. Again, the years of working with small businesses, you know, at this point across the nation,
mm-hmm.
you know, in Seattle and then New York, really played well. And so I got a really great response, and I was able to quickly put together a pretty brisk retail market in this tent in front of New Day Fisheries.
And so what happened?
Well, it was in Scott's mind a summertime project. Mm-hmm. And so as winter started to hit, I do remember being concerned that the fish were freezing on the
totes. He didn't need the ice.
But, you know, I needed to work. I'd moved my family here to Port Townsend. So I think we rolled through the Christmas holidays. But at that point, he laid me off. His rest of his business wasn't going great. He couldn't think of other things for me to do. And he said, thank you so much. I hope you come back. But I got to let you go here for the winter.
So what'd you do?
Well, I started looking for work. And what I found was that I really had a great opportunity at New Day Fisheries, and other opportunities of that nature were not available. And so the only jobs that seemed to be available were minimum wage, and that was walking backwards proposition for me at the time.
So you decided to start your own business.
So I spoke with my brother, and I told him what a great success I had, you know, setting up this retail market for New Day Fisheries. And he said, well, why don't you do it for yourself? And I was, well, I should do that, you know. And then we kind of bounce it back and forth. And then with his support, we went to my father, and my dad loaned me $20,000 to put a little market together in downtown Port Townsend.
That's great. So how'd you come up with the name? Why'd you call it Key City?
Well, again, one of the things I wanted to make happen was to celebrate the small business old school way of doing things. There's something magical about that. I mean, what I did learn in New York City is this is my parcel. This is the kind of person I am. And this is the kind of thing that I want to share and propagate. And I wanted Key City Fish to sound like a fish store that had been in Port Townsend since Port Townsend began. And Key City Fish, I learned that Port Townsend was the key city.
Where was your first shop?
My first shop was in the Quimper Mercantile Complex, around the corner from what used to be a dry cleaner, facing the ferry dock.
Mm-hmm.
There was a little space there, 400 or 500 square feet, and I set up there. I actually pulled the window out and put a garage door there in place, so it kind of opened up to the promenade in front.
So people could see it.
So people could see it and easy access and air. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't want to be all closed up in there with
Now, in the
Fresh
beginning,
fish.
Were you just fish?
In the beginning, I was just fish, yeah.
And obviously, you drifted into other things. Why? What was your thinking?
Well, I was always just trying to grow the business.
Mm-hmm.
And so the one thing about seafood is people love seafood, but it's a specialty item on a lot of people's diets. And so my first expansion was to add poultry.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a little bit more of a mainstay. And it was something I had worked with at University Seafood and Poultry. So I kind of copied their concept, believing it would work well for me.
So you expanded a bit in that location.
I did. So I got the space next door, and we doubled inside to maybe 1,000 square feet or close to it.
So I know you've expanded several times. Now, your location down in Boat Haven, how big is the area? It's hard to tell from, as a customer, you're just up in the front, which is sort of tiny, but how big is it?
The warehouse itself is about 2,900 square feet, approximately.
And how many employees do you have?
At this time, I have about 30 employees.
And you clearly have some trucks. I see them all the time.
I do. I've got 5 refrigerated box trucks and an F-150 pickup truck.
Oh. Obviously, you sell retail down there to people in Port Townsend, but you're selling to restaurants and other places. Give us an idea of really where you're reaching these days.
Well, we have slowly grown into, you know, a small regional purveyor. And so we go as far west as Lake Quinault Lodge. Then we go up to Nea Bay. We go north to Bellingham, Whidbey Island. Of course, we go into Kitsap County, Bainbridge, Bremerton, Silverdale. We do Gig Harbor, Tacoma, and we go into Seattle, Bellevue, and surrounding, you know, Kirkland, surrounding cities.
Roughly speaking, what's your split now between retail and wholesale?
About 3/4 of our business is wholesale, and that's probably growing. So it's probably going to push past 3/4.
How do you grow your business anyhow?
It is the magic cold call.
It takes a certain personality to be able to do that.
Well, it's interesting, but I have found that it was something I was very capable in. It was very successful. Restaurants are often looking for improvement on their food supplies, especially with proteins. Mm-hmm. Probably with produce as well, but I'm not so much into that aspect of their business.
And so do you hear about a new restaurant or an old restaurant? I mean, how do you decide where it might work?
I do hear and follow up on leads. Mm-hmm. I have enormous success just driving around, walking around neighborhoods and stopping in to places that seem like a good fit. I mean, we do very well with new American cuisine, you know, so we kind of have an eye on that. We do very well with mid to high-end restaurants, independently owned. Well, much harder with corporate, you know, multi-location.
You know, as a customer, when I go in there, I've noticed that you frequently see the name of the farm, you know, Short's Farm. I've talked to Roger Short before, so I know all about his grass-fed beef, but there is a lot of that in there. Is that a conscious strategy?
In our growth with seafood, we always focused on wild. When we got into poultry, we focused on free range. When we got into meat, you know, we were the first meat market in Jefferson County to bring in natural beef, hormone antibiotic free. So we've always tried to stay on the edge of what we believe to be the best quality and healthiest food available. And so that's really the cutting edge of what we're doing.
Yeah, I think you were ahead of the curve on that. It's very popular now.
They've caught up with me. And so the good news is the world has changed in a good way, and perhaps I played a role helping that happen.
Yeah, well, that's great. I mean, now, just sort of segue here, because a lot of our listeners might remember this. For a while, you were running the kitchen or the operations at Manresa Castle. Can you briefly just give us a little hint of what that was happening?
Yeah, that was an exciting and not so profitable part of my career. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun. At the time, I had a small deli in what is now our taco stand. It originated as a deli, and I had a gentleman working for me by the name of Randall Umbadacht. And we had it in our minds when we added wine to our portfolio and our retail shop that we would go to the Manresa Castle and see if we couldn't lease the restaurant just to do a wine dinner, because we knew they weren't running the restaurant for most of the week, just the weekends. So we went up and talked to the manager, Preston Massey, at the time. And his counteroffer was, well, why don't you just lease the restaurant year-round? And so me and Randall looked at each other and said, wow, you know, that's
such an awesome deal.
Yeah. And so big learning curve. We kind of got started and we had one good year, but we were just figuring things out. And then the very next year, the recession hit pretty hard.
Oh, dear.
And so it was a long and arduous, you know, struggle to succeed.
Yeah. Bad timing.
So the timing didn't play out. I learned a lot and I had a lot of fun. I really loved, my favorite thing was doing live music. We did a lot of live music on Saturday nights, mostly jazz.
That and so sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Well, back to the recession for a second. It really impacted that part of your business, but what happened with the mainstay business? Was that hard hit as well?
Yeah. Actually, we lost one of our big accounts right at the beginning of the recession, and that was a struggle as well. So it was a struggle across the board. And you know, a lot of companies in our position, a lot of small businesses in America went out of business.
That's for sure.
And we came close. We hung in there and barely scraped through.
Wow. And what year would you say for you was the bottom for a turnaround?
Again, at this point, I would just be guessing, but it was probably 2009. It was either 2009 or 2010.
Yeah. I have the sense that it lagged a bit for a lot of businesses here in Port Townsend. They weren't so much hit at the very beginning, but a little later it really happened.
Yeah, no, all of those businesses, restaurants and servicing restaurants, when people's money capabilities tighten up, you know, their participation in that part of the economy tightens up and we all feel the pain.
Yeah. Your company is located inside the Boat Haven. You're one of several businesses, none marine trade, if you want to look at it that way, although fish, you could say, is sort of marine trade.
We do say that. You just
yeah, okay. Everyone in Port Townsend loves the port, but there's a lot of public discussion about what's going on with infrastructure. And I had another guest who was talking about the fact that the number of employees, if you take all of the businesses in there, it's actually more than the number of employees at the mill. And I had never thought about it that way before. What's your view about the infrastructure and the health of the port?
Well, I think it's important to have a healthy port, and the role that they have played creating an incubator for small businesses to grow and become successful has been vital and very important, and to this point, very successful, which is why there is, you know, 400 or 500 employees. Again, that's just a guesstimate off the right top of my head, but I'm imagining it's close. And so I think that's an important role. They are at this point experiencing some capital expenditures for the breakwaters and things like that that are expensive. And in trying to figure out how to pay for those things, they have introduced some ideas that might threaten that incubating capability and make our lives, you know, difficult and make some businesses, you know, the equation might become impossible. You know, under some of these proposed ideas, again, I think these ideas are all being tossed around at this juncture.
Yeah, at this stage, there's a lot of talk. Nothing has really been decided. Well, unfortunately, we're virtually out of time here, but I just wanted to take a second. I know as an entrepreneur, you're consumed with your business, but you must have a few hours here and there where you do other things than Key City. Give us a brief hit of what else you like to do.
Well, you know, I am a board member of the Key City Public Theater.
Cool.
And so this is kind of a new thing for me. I'm not a guy that did theater in high school or anything. In fact, I was afraid of theater, I'm pretty sure. But I've been trying my hand at writing plays. And
cool.
So if life goes well, maybe a John Paul Davies play will be, you know, produced at some point. And so we'll keep you posted.
Okay. And just give us a hint. Are we talking drama, comedy? What?
I think we're in drama with a little comedic edge.
Okay. That sounds good. I want to thank you so much for being a guest on the show. I also want to thank the man in the control booth, my partner, John McPherson. He is the editor and producer of Our Town, and he makes sure that we all sound smooth and don't say bumbly things on air. I also want to thank the director of programming, Larry Stein, responsible for herding the cats down here at KPTZ and coming up with great programming ideas. Also, thanks to KPTZ chair, Robert Ambrose. You've been listening to KPTZ Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. The show's Our Town. I'm the host, Marianne McNellis. My guest today has been John Paul Davies, owner of Key City Fish Company. Thank you for listening to Our Town, and stay tuned to KPTZ for more dynamic, eclectic community radio.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production created by Marianne McNellis and engineered by John McPherson.